39. Marcy stood before an unassuming townhome, one in a long row of structures along the street, each a different color with a slightly different building shape. Each lawn held a different variety of tree. Bilming ideal, mass-produced individuality. Marcy hesitated on the threshold. Ruin. Was she ready to meet the survivor himself? A man she had been taught since childhood to worship? A man who had transcended even the grave? Who had briefly held the mantle of preservation before releasing it to the ascendant warrior, and who had then protected the people of the southern continent for years after the world was remade? Moonlight was confident that her mentor really was him, so how would it feel to meet him? You've chatted with death, Marcy thought. Is this so different? Judging by her nerves, yes. Yes, it was. Moonlight touched a finger to a piece of metal on the door and the thing unlocked. Identity lock, she noted, then pushed open the door. The small foyer inside was all hardwood and polish, and there were no paintings or other ornamentations of note. Moonlight headed to the left into a large room with thick drapes covering the windows. The walls were lined with maps, illuminated by electric lights. Moonlight slid her bag onto a table by the far wall, where a woman in her 20s, somewhat plump, with a stark blonde bob, was peering at a paper covered in strange writing. She had a small terrier in her lap.
Moonlight, the woman said after a glance, you have to read this. Travel to Biendal has been completely upset. That's 4 primary systems we can't visit without extreme danger if you count Roshar. I've said it for years. The perpendicularities are no longer viable. They never were good for mass transportation or commerce, no matter how hard those fools on Nalthus try. We need a different...
The woman trailed off, then turned in her seat, perhaps hearing Marcy stepping into the room.
Hey, you brought a local.
Marcy, meet code names, Moonlight said. Code names, meet Marcy. We're working on a mission together.
Wow,
Codenames said, thrusting the sheet of paper at Moonlight, then hopping to her feet, the small dog under her arm.
You must trust her.
Hartley.
You brought her to the safe house.
She forced me.
No one forces you to do anything,
Codenames said, then bounced over and thrust her free hand toward Marcy.
Hi. I'm Codenames are stupid. Long story.
The woman had a faint accent, wholly unlike that of Alec or anyone Marcy had met from the southern continent. That, plus the way she'd spoken of locals, indicated another traveler? The presence of an accent indicated she might not be as good at languages as Moonlight was, maybe. Marcy shook her hand.
Is, the survivor here?
Kel? Codenames said. Nah. Haven't seen him in a week or so.
She spun toward Moonlight.
What do you think of the report? Worrisome, right?
Moonlight held the paper pinched between two fingers.
Code names, she said. What language is this even in?
Thalen, code names said. Oh, it's a fascinating one, Moonlight. You should learn it. Look how the letters interlock in...
I'll stick to using connection tricks for languages, thank you,
Moonlight said, spreading out the rubbings she'd taken.
That's cheating.
Another word for a clever shortcut, Moonlight said. Is Twin Soul here? I think we're going to need some mathematics.
Lily and I will go and grab him,
Codenames said, carrying her dog and slipping away into the back rooms. Marcy had watched the exchange with bafflement, but rather than focus on what she didn't understand, she turned her attention to something she did. One of the maps was of Scadrial, the entire world. A more detailed map than she'd ever seen, far more extensive than the official surveys. It even included the dark parts of the unexplored islands and the land masses to the south. If that was Scadrial, then what were these other maps?
Rusts, how many worlds were out there? There's always another secret, she thought, remembering her catechism as a child studying the life of the survivor.
A short time later, Codenames walked back into the room with an elderly man. He looked, well, ancient, judging by the long powder-white mustache and the liver-spotted skin, which was a deep tan. He wore a formal suit in the Bilming fashion, so maybe he was from her land? But he also had a short beard with mustaches, a style she'd never seen a man wear in Ellendale. Though he stood tall, not the least bit bowed by age, he did seem a little unsteady on his feet, since he gripped the doorframe as he stepped through it.
He
said, pressing his palms together.
A guest. Welcome to our home, honored guest. Let me get you something to drink.
Twin soul, Moonlight said, we are on a deadline to—
Deadlines are no excuse for rudeness,
Twin soul said.
I am Twin Soul, and you are—
Mercy, she said.
Lady Mercy,
he said.
Excellent.
He immediately turned toward what Mercy assumed was the kitchen.
How do you take your tea?
Mint tea, if you have it, with lemon.
Excellent,
he said again. He soon returned with a plate bearing a cup and an array of nuts and fruits.
Please, enjoy.
She felt guilty making someone so old wait on her, but at the same time, there was a certain forcefulness to how he offered the refreshment. It reminded her of her aunt, who would be far more offended if you didn't accept a drink. So Mercy took the cup and a handful of nuts.
Now,
Twin Soul said,
what have you brought me, Moonlight? Curious, curious.
He stepped over to the table and surveyed the rubbings, stretching out his hands and resting them on the table. Mercy stepped up, curious. There was something odd about his hands that she hadn't noticed earlier. A line of crystal, embedded in the skin, running along the outsides of his fingers and wrists, almost like a seam on a glove. It was pinkish-red, like rose quartz. The man leaned down, and she saw lines of similar crystal appear from beneath his collar, growing up the sides of his neck and temples, crossing his skin like little rivers of liquid. As she watched with amazement, these tendrils expanded from his temples, forming spectacles. Completely made of crystal, the lens parts more transparent than the rest. A second set of lenses, smaller, formed in front of the others, giving him extra magnification.
How, Mercy said, glancing at Moonlight. How does he do that?
I fear,
Twin Soul said, pulling tight one of the rubbings,
that such information is not lightly shared with an outsider, even an honored guest. I must trust that Moonlight thinks this is acceptable for you to see, but I apologize. I will not explain without leave from our leader.
It's an emergency, Moonlight said, lounging against a bookshelf with her arms folded. I had to risk bringing her in.
She glanced at Mercy and seemed to be hiding a smile at Mercy's visible wonder.
She's not as worried about my visit as she implied, Mercy thought. She sees this as an opportunity to intrigue me.
It was working. Twin Soul arranged the various rubbings, then raised an index finger. Two lines of crystal grew up the outsides of that finger and formed into a nib, like a fountain pen. He absently unscrewed a small jar of ink, then began taking notes.
What is the emergency, Moonlight?
He asked.
Autonomy is moving on a much faster timetable than we believed, she explained. One of these charts lists explosions, once assumed to be due to railway construction. We're hoping you could correlate that with the hotspots of enemy activity we've been monitoring, to find a likely entry point to the caverns.
Ah, yes,
Twin Soul said.
Sila Janna says he would be happy to aid in this. Keza, would you fetch the appropriate binder?
Sure thing,
Codename said, bounding off to do as she was asked. With Mercy's help, Moonlight pulled over a long table and arranged some of the rubbings on it. They left the circular table at the center of the room empty for now, though Mercy couldn't guess why. As Twin Soul took notes, he absently created a cup from the same rose-colored stone, then filled it from a water jug at the side of the room. When he was finished drinking, he set the cup on a plate, and the stone disintegrated into fine powder, which then eventually vanished. A short time later, he made a thin knife blade on one finger and cut out a specific section of the rubbing. When Codenames returned a short time later, Twin Soul was settled at the table on a crystal chair he had created. Marcy fidgeted and checked the wall clock. They'd spent almost half an hour here so far. She didn't know how tight their deadline was, but given what they'd discovered, waiting was unnerving. Twin Soul said, scribbling some more notes with his finger pen. As he wrote, a line of crystal grew off his other hand and reached the cutout section of the rubbing. There it formed a little frame around the flimsy square of paper. A pole grew up behind it, hanging it like a picture for better inspection. Twin Soul peered at it through his improvised spectacles, playing with his long mustaches.
"I wish my brother were here," Codenames said from a seat nearby. "He'd do this math easily."
She looked forlorn as she said it.
"The problem is not merely one of mathematics," Twin Soul said.
He stood and walked away from the little workstation, leaving the framed piece of paper behind, and this time the stone didn't disintegrate. He filled himself a much larger cup of water, then stepped up to the circular table and rested one hand on it while drinking. A crystal city grew up from the table. It started at his hand, then spread out, like frost forming on steel. His crystal reminded Marcy of a darker version of the pink saltstone Steris had once purchased for decorating the kitchen. Buildings sprouted from it, streets formed as troughs. In minutes, a complete replica of the city adorned the table, the circular elevated train tracks of the partially finished high-speed rail growing in last of all. Marcy's breath caught. Then she looked at the old man, who was smiling in a self-satisfied way. He appeared to enjoy the showmanship. Perhaps if she hadn't been here, he'd have pulled out a mundane map. But this was oh so much more impressive.
"It's called an aether," Moonlight said, walking up behind her. "An ancient entity predating the creation of your world. Twin Soul can grow it, manipulate it. Would you like to know more?"
"Yes,"
Marcy whispered. Moonlight smiled. "And you shall, once you join us."
Marcy breathed out softly, then reached out to touch the tip of one of the buildings, which felt solid beneath her fingers, more sturdy than she'd expected. The aether was mostly smooth, with tiny pits here and there.
"I have three likely options for you," Twin Soul said. "I've marked them in deeper colored rosite."
He pointed toward one building, a little pointer stick, the kind professors used for gesturing at chalkboards, growing between his fingers. The building indicated was indeed a deeper red. It was the central spire of the city, right at the heart of Bilming, rising high above the surrounding structures, straight along the sides, then tapering sharply toward the unfinished upper floors.
"Independence Tower," Twin Soul said. "This is no surprise. We've known that the agents of autonomy have been using this as their base for years."
"And there were explosions underneath?" Marcy asked.
"The detonations happened farther to the east," Twin Soul said. "But I doubt that the entrance to those caverns will be right in the center of the detonations, for obvious reasons. Independence Tower is a central hub of activity for our esteemed antagonists, and I'd bet it has an entrance to the caverns."
"But it will be heavily guarded," Marcy said. "What are the other two options?"
"This office building here, m'lady,"
he said, pointing to a smaller structure in the city grid. She nodded.
"Note, though, I'm not a lady. I work for a living."
"It is merely a distinction of respect, Lady Marcy," he said, "from among my people. It translates oddly into your language. Regardless, this office building, the Dului building, is both a hotbed of set activity and at the perimeter of one of the locations with tremors. I consider it the most likely option."
He pointed back at the tall structure.
"As you noted, Independence Tower is highly defended. A veritable fortification, a castle in the middle of the city. Breaching it has proven beyond even the odds of the survivor himself.
Not for lack of trying, Codenames added. Their security system can spot ghosts. He hasn't figured out a way to circumvent that.
And the final location? Maracy asked.
It seems of less import,
Twinsoul said, pointing at a structure on the perimeter of the city beneath a section of train track.
An old tire factory.
Tires? Moonlight said, stepping up beside Maracy. Like where Tobel Copper worked? Twinsoul, would I be correct to assume that factory is owned by Basin Tires? Maracy asked.
Indeed, Twinsoul said. You appear to have information beyond mine, my lady.
That company is involved, Maracy said. Did your agents notice anything odd about the factory? Codenames flipped through one of their files.
Let's see. Curious. The woman we had watching this location says it's mostly shut down, because very little is ever shipped out of it.
But things are shipped in, Maracy said, growing excited. Maybe an oddly large number of deliveries, given that the factory barely seems to be doing anything?
Yes, Codenames said. Our agent didn't put that together, but yes, from the shipping manifests here. Why are they taking in so much if they're not making anything?
Because those aren't supplies for the factory, Moonlight said, meeting Maracy's eyes. They're stockpiles of food and arms for the cavern underneath. This is our incursion point.
I agree, Maracy said. There has to be an entrance to the caverns there, and maybe it will be less guarded than the central spire. We strike here.
We can get there quickly by rail, Moonlight said. The section leading from here to there is finished and running.
Wait, Twinsoul said. How urgent is this threat?
We have reason to believe, Maracy said, that the Set has developed a bomb capable of wiping out Ellendale. Harmony is blinded, and we know the Set have been developing a device capable of delivering their bomb from a great distance.
They have a dark god breathing down their necks, Moonlight added, demanding results. They were supposed to put their plan into motion weeks ago, and with Maracy and her friends getting close, well, they have every incentive to launch that bomb the moment they can. It could happen at any time.
By the first Aether,
he whispered, glancing at Codenames, whose eyes had gone wide.
Moonlight, we should contact the Master.
You're right, Moonlight said. I hate delaying, but Codenames, is your special friend nearby?
Upstairs, she said, scrambling out of the room. I'll go grab him.
The Master? Maracy said.
You mean... Yes, Moonlight said. It's time to talk to Kelsier.